honey, everything's coming up roses. Clear the decks.
Absolutely, everything is coming up roses because Valentine's Day is on the way. In addition to chocolates and nice jewelry, of course, flowers is always something that we like to give our loved ones at this time of the year. I'm Jill Nadeau. This is the Larry Mueller Show, and we're going to be talking about the floral industry with our next guest, Tammy Gash. She is the owner of Brilliant Blooms in Brilliant. They're celebrating their 10th year in business, and she's also president of the Wisconsin Upper Michigan Florist Association. Tell us why you love receiving flowers. What are your favorite types to see in a bouquet? Or maybe you design bouquets yourself. Tell us what inspires you. Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send us an email at talk@wpr.org. Tammy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jill, for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, I tell you, as a former florist myself, I can tell you this time of year is very stressful. So I really appreciate you taking a half hour to be with us. Oh, my gosh. The days of swollen fingers from roses. Amazing. So Valentine's Day is a week away, and I know you're super busy. When do you start prepping for the holiday?
Well, we're prepping now already, actually. We've gotten in all of our glass, our vases and containers that we're going to be using. So we're trying to get the shop organized. So when the flowers start being delivered to us from our suppliers later this week, that we can just get everything cleaned, you know, flowers hydrated and cleaned and ready to roll into production early next week. So,
are the roses still the most popular flower for Valentine's Day?
Yes, red roses for Valentine's Day are by far the most popular, but there's so many other beautiful colors that I carry by special request from my customers and your other local florists will have. So if your special person likes purple or hot pink or anything like that, you know, we're definitely going to have that on hand. And because flowers bring joy and happiness and smiles, and we definitely want to be spreading joy for Valentine's Day.
That is so true. And I know I've heard many times people say, why would I want to give flowers? They're just going to die. Well, why would you want to eat, a good meal? You know, it's going to be gone in a second. So, right, if you look at it like that.
Exactly. Yes. Most flowers that you can get from a local florist should last at least 7 days. I have customers say they finally had to throw that bouquet out because it was 3 weeks later and they were tired of looking at it, kind of thing.
So, right.
There are definitely flowers that have a nice long life to give lots of extra enjoyment.
Yes, definitely. I like the mixed ones so that as they go, I can just pull them out and then the other ones last and, yeah, get plenty of use out of those. What are some tips for someone who's looking to order a beautiful bouquet for Valentine's Day? When should they be calling you?
We're starting to get orders now already. The earlier you call, the better chance that you're going to get exactly what you're looking for. If you wait until the morning of Valentine's Day or later that afternoon, it's a good chance that you could be sold out of something. So we always encourage ordering earlier, and that way we can make sure to set those stems aside for you.
And that's especially true if there's a specific flower they're looking for, right?
Correct. And some, you know, people, we don't have unlimited budget, so as we're pre-ordering, we started ordering our flowers for Valentine's Day back in around Thanksgiving. And so, we're kind of guessing as to what people might be looking for, but with enough advance notice, we can try and have your favorite varieties here. So,
where do those roses come from originally? Where do they grow?
The majority of roses that you see sold in stores come from Ecuador or Colombia down in South America. And they are that region of the world has the best growing conditions. They can grow roses there year-round. There's very few commercial rose growers in the United States anymore just because of the resources that are required to grow those flowers.
And they come fairly quickly. So it's not like they're sitting around for weeks and weeks on a plane or something. They come pretty fast, don't they?
Right. It is a pretty quick turnaround. I saw a post this morning on social media from Quito, Ecuador, which is the big airport in that country. And there were 6 miles of refrigerated trucks lined up, ready to unload, to board commercial planes to fly to all different points in the world. And so literally flowers that are leaving Ecuador today, my flowers might go into Miami or Louisville, and I can have them within a day or two after that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's amazing. And they're packed well, and they're in great shape. And what do you do when you get them to your shop?
When we get them to our shop, we're opening the boxes. We're inspecting the petals and the stems for quality. We want to make sure that they haven't been crushed or damaged in shipment. During the winter, you always worry about flowers might freeze. So we're definitely doing strict quality checks. We're giving them a nice sharp cut on the bottom of their stems and getting them into a hydrating solution so that the flowers start to drink and rehydrate themselves so that they can be in prime condition to be later moved into a vase and go home with our customers.
If someone is going into your shop and wants to pick out flowers, what are some tips that you have for getting, you know, the freshest and the best flowers?
Well, we have, on a regular day-to-day basis, my shop, we make our bouquets to order. That way we're able to, someone walked in this morning and wanted some pink roses for their significant other, and I was able to go and pick those flowers and straight out of my cooler to send home with him today. But most shops would have their flowers, you know, available already designed and in their cooler for you to see. You want to look to make sure there's no leaves in the water, that the water is clean, that there's not dirt or anything coloring the water, so that's usually a really good sign that everything is fresh.
And that's a good tip for people when they bring home bouquets too, right? Get those lower leaves off.
Right. When people pick up a bouquet here, if they're taking a wrap bouquet home or a vase, we're recommending that they lift those flowers out of the vase, give them a fresh cut a few days after they take them home, rinse the vase out really well with nice fresh cold water and put the flowers back in. The more often you change the water in your vase, the less likely that bacteria will grow and you should get much more longevity out of that vase of flowers.
In that little packet of, we call it floral food, that's in there, you definitely should use it, right?
Well, there's mixed thoughts on that,
actually. Okay.
Well, yes, use it if you're going to follow the directions to the T. Most people, when they bring home that bouquet with that little pack of flower food on, they get their vase out from under the sink. Maybe they'll rinse it out, but they'll dump that packet of flower food in and fill up the water and drop their flowers in. Most of those flower food packets need to be dissolved in at least a gallon of water. And I don't know about your vases at home, but mine wouldn't hold a gallon of water. So you're overfeeding those flowers, which then they don't like that either. They get a bellyache and just the same as you if you overeat. So
yeah.
So generally think of those packets as maybe being good for two uses or something, but mm-hmm. It's important to let them dissolve because otherwise when you drop your stems into the vase and those crystals are at the bottom of the vase, they just plug up the flower's ability to drink water too. So,
and that brings up another point. When you get those flowers, they should be recut. What do you suggest you use to cut them?
We recommend either a sharp scissors or a knife. You want to give them a nice cut on an angle so that way you have more surface area for the flowers to drink from. Also, that way if they rest on the bottom of the vase, they're resting on a pointed edge as opposed to a flat edge so that they can still get water up into the stems.
And how often do you want to change that water? Every couple days or...?
Yep. Flowers are very thirsty creatures, especially right now in the winter when it's dry in your home. So you want to keep your eye on the level of water in the vase, especially little bud vases. The flower could drink that whole bud vase of water within a day. So you want to be keeping an eye on that. And probably for sure every 2 or 3 days, you want to dump that old water out and refill with fresh water.
Is it necessary to recut the flowers when you're changing the water?
It really depends upon how fresh they are. If you look at the bottom of the stems, if they're kind of brown and mushy feeling, then I would definitely recut them. Otherwise, you know, if you're changing that water pretty regularly, the ends should be staying appropriate that they could still drink water.
Okay.
The other thing you want to do is not put your flowers in a window because the sun from the, you know, will heat them up and cause them to bloom out faster. And you want to keep them away from a heat register or a draft.
So. Great advice. We're talking to Tammy Gash. She is the owner of Brilliant Blooms in Brilliant. Call 800-642-1234 with a question. Or if you want, you can send us an email. And that address is talk@wpr.org. And you're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Najoe. I hope you can join us again tomorrow. Our wildlife experts, David Drake and Jamie Knack, are going to return. They'll talk about the brown bats population, that it's making a comeback, and the results of a new 5-year CWD study of 1,000 deer in southwest Wisconsin. Right now, we are talking flowers. Tammy, where should people buy their flowers from?
We definitely encourage people to shop local. You know, shopping with your local brick-and-mortar florist or studio florist, your grocery store, you know, they're getting fresh product in. They're keeping those dollars you're spending within your community. There's a big, you know, if you were to Google or do an online search to purchase your Valentine flowers, for example, if you say flowers near me, those first bunches of links might be really encouraging to click on because it looks like a really good deal. But those are call centers that a person is going to link to place their order. And by the time all the fee, it might look really cheap, but by the time all the fees and services are added to it, it's going to be more advantageous to shop at your local florist. So resist that temptation and scroll down a little bit further, and all of a sudden you're going to see a map on the page, and there's going to be dots on the map, and those dots represent a local florist, and that's what I would definitely encourage people to do, so is to shop a local florist.
Great advice. And if you're sending them, you know, my mom is in the UP, I want to send her flowers. I usually, you know, Google a name of a florist there. Is that a good way to do it, or is there another way?
You could also, you know, if using the UP as an example, you know, if she's in Escanaba, you know, Escanaba florist, and give the zip code, then the map will show up there too, and you'll be able to use that map as your guide in picking a local florist in a different community.
Okay. We've got a caller, Dot in Chippewa Falls. What can we help you with?
Hi. Last summer I dried hydrangeas, and then I waited quite a while, and I painted them. And they turned out real nice. But now some of the petals are falling off. I want to know what's a good spray to prevent the petals from falling.
Oh, good question. Do you have any advice for her, Tammy?
I'm like thinking quickly in my brain too. So what might help that? I would definitely, Dot, make sure that you're not moving those flowers and blooms any more than possible. You know, put them in a vase and just set them on your table or wherever you're displaying them, keeping them away from a heat register or a draft where they might get dried out even further, will definitely keep them looking nicer. Sometimes you might be able to find a preservative spray to put on them, but if you've already spray painted them to color them, you know, you've already sealed those petals. So I would just try not to move them as little as possible, and they'll last longer for you.
Yeah, hydrangeas are really difficult because they do shed quite easily, don't
they? Yeah, they're pretty fragile after they've dried, so...
For sure. Now, you know, I had worked as a florist, and I love the job. You're working around plants and flowers every day. And just walking into that cooler was just like a break, right? Have you always had a love for flowers and plants?
I'm pretty new, actually, to floral, I would say. Our shop has been open for 10 years, or 10 years this fall, but for before that, I had different sales and marketing roles. My husband and I did garden at home, but we were looking for something to do in our community, and this was just an opportunity that came along, and now I love it. It's so fun. Every day is different. That's important to me. I can't do the same thing every day or all the time. And so each person that walks in our door has a new story to tell, and it's so satisfying to me to help them with the gift they want to give or what the occasion that they're celebrating, whether it's, you know, celebrating a new baby, a new life, or if it's celebrating the life of a life well lived. You know, all of those moments are special to us because we're helping to convey emotion and to, you know, just brings a lot of personal satisfaction to me.
Yeah, I can understand that because, like you said, families will use the same florist for decades and rely on that florist.
Right. We've had, when we first started, opened our florist, our flower shop, you know, it was homecoming season. So we did lots of corsages and boutonnieres for those dances. And now I'm having some of those same kids come back as adults. They're getting married or they've had a baby or they want to send flowers to a friend. And it's so nice that we've established that relationship over the years that they feel confident calling me and saying, hey, you did my dance flowers. Can you help me with my wedding now? Or something like that. It's just, you know, a nice generational relationship, I guess you might say.
Definitely. We have a different Dot calling from Manitowoc with a comment. Go ahead, Dot.
Hi. If I was to send flowers to a friend or a loved one, I wouldn't wait until exactly Valentine's Day. I would send them a week earlier so that my friend or loved one could enjoy them even before Valentine's Day and take the stress off the people in the floral business.
Great idea, Dot. Do you agree, Tammy?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know, sending it early that they can enjoy it leading up to the holiday, or even if you're calling the day of, that they can enjoy it long after the holiday. We encourage all types of orders. So, but relieving the stress of getting things done a little early on such a busy day, that is definitely appreciated. So.
What are some suggestions that you have for other flowers other than roses for Valentine's Day?
We sell a lot of carnations on Valentine's Day. They have come in such beautiful colors, and they have a nice scent, and they last a long time. And there's so many new colors that are being bred for the carnations now, different purples and blues and everything else, things that you haven't seen before. We also sell daisies and alstroemeria and lilies. Oriental lilies, if you like fragrance, are definitely something that you should consider. One flower that's really popular these days are proteas, which come from Australia. The flower market is a worldwide market, and so the flowers are coming from all over at any time. So it really depends upon the style of that your loved one likes. And, you know, do they like a more wildflower look? Then we might suggest daisies or other things that are smaller bloomed. If they like big, bold, and beautiful, you know, there's definitely flowers for that too. So,
Are tulips one of a favorite at this time of the year? Is it too early?
No, I'm glad you mentioned that. We've been getting tulips in now for a couple weeks already, and tulips are definitely a Valentine flower. They're available now as a bulb plant that you could buy buy them as a plant to later plant outside in your yard, or we have lots of cut tulips too. And they come so they're, it's not just the tulips that you used to grow up with that are just one solid color. They come in multiple colors. They come in multiple rows of petals. There's a double tulip that I have in my shop. We call them the peony tulip because as they open, there's multiple rows of flower of petals that look, they look like little miniature peonies. And so tulips have become very artistically creative. So.
Oh, they are. And they're just so beautiful. They're one of my favorites. Hint, hint to anybody who wants to buy me flowers. you know, you had mentioned about buying a bulb plant to put outside, but there are also plants available this time of year that are beautiful. Tell us about some of those.
We have a wide variety of green plants right now. People are really calling themselves plant mamas and and plant enthusiasts. So we've been trying to carry a wide range of regular greenhouse plants, but there's a lot of nice flowering plants that are just coming into season now too. We'll have calla lily plants that are coming in this week. That those two could be plant. You know, the bulbs could be preserved to plant. I guess technically tubers to plant outside later. There are Gerbera daisy plants, mini carnations. A calancho is in the succulent family. Those are nice long-lasting flowers. There's bromeliads, if you like that flare of tropical. You know, they are nice long-lasting plants. The orchid plants, too, are really reasonably priced. They last a long time. We have customers that are able to get those to rebloom, so they love the economics of that, too. So,
What about azaleas and gardenias? Those used to be fairly popular at this time of the year. Are they still?
Yes, I would say for sure the azalea is popular. I don't happen to carry those very regularly. But yes, that is still something that we can get for Valentine's Day. The anthurium is also another plant that is available for Valentine's, and that has a nice heart-shaped petal to it. Gardenias, we see more towards Mother's Day. True.
And that's is Mother's Day is actually a busier day for you than Valentine's Day, right? Or at least it used to be.
Yeah. Yes, Mother's Day is probably our busiest holiday, but that's more like a marathon. It goes for over several days, you know. So
right.
People are sending those flowers a little bit earlier in the week, or they're buying garden plants and things like that. And so it goes over several days. Valentine's Day is like a sprint. It's our biggest single day of the year, for sure.
Okay, I see what you're saying. But as far as money-wise, you probably get more income over Mother's Day than you do for Valentine's Day, right?
That is true.
Okay.
That is true.
Okay. Now, you were talking a little bit earlier about flowers for dances. I mean, that used to be the thing. Is that still popular with the kids?
Yes, they, especially for homecoming and prom, flowers for dances are popular. And the girls are starting to change things up, though, instead of necessarily a wrist corsage. Some of them are starting to carry little bouquets, little posies into their dances instead. Almost, if you want to think of it, almost as like a miniature bridesmaid bouquet.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes not even so miniature. But the bouquet is definitely becoming a popular dance flower trend.
We always used to like, oh gosh, it's one of those nosegays that takes forever to do. And they're not inexpensive, are they? So if somebody wants to really impress their date, buy one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
So what about on the men's side? Now, I've seen some really interesting things that fit into pockets.
Oh, yes. The pocket boutonniere is becoming a bigger trend in our weddings that we do. And we might see them for a special dance. But the flowers are made on a card that then slides into the pocket of the suit coat. And it just gives like a nice little row of flowers across the top of the coat where you might have had, you know, a little...
Like a pocket square?
A pocket square, mm-hmm, of fabric instead. So now you've got a pocket full of pocket full of flowers.
And probably with those guys, there can be a little rough on a boutonniere, so probably maybe lasts a little bit longer.
Yes, and we actually have been sending magnets. You know, we're recommending magnets on our boutonnieres.
Oh, great.
It takes away the fear of being poked or being the poker of putting the pins on the boutonniere. And, you know, they can adjust them on their shirt. They hold up on a shirt a little nicer than the pins, that they don't get top heavy and spin around.
Okay. Well, Tammy,
yes, no poking, no blood, no bleeding.
No blood, right. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for spending some time with us today, and good luck over Valentine's Day.
Thank you so much, Jill. It was my pleasure. Yes,
you bet. Tammy Gash is the owner of Brilliant Blooms in Brilliant. We want to thank our team, our producers, Clara Neipert and Jill Patinot, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, and of course, our host, Larry Mueller, who's getting better every day, FYI. I'm the executive producer, Jill Nadeau. Thanks for joining us today.
Spinning, that'll be just the